This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, GEICO makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. GEICO.com. Easy.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Nearing a ceasefire. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka, on this Thursday, May 20th. Glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
Amid growing international pressure, reports say Israel and Hamas are close to an agreement that would pause their attacks on each other.
As expected, the Democratic-led House has passed a measure that would create a commission to investigate the riot at the U.S. Capitol.
The Fed is hinting at a change in its easy money policy that led to a volatile trading day that sent shares of Bitcoin and Dogecoin tumbling.
And the strange places where Americans can now get vaccinated, like restaurants and casinos.
Believe it or not, something like 90% of people who haven't gotten vaccinated to this point haven't even tried to make an appointment. And so what a lot of health officials figured out is that what they really need to do is try to make it as convenient as possible to get a vaccine.
Julie Wernow at the Wall Street Journal on vaccinating those who are ambivalent. The House has approved a bill that would create a bipartisan independent commission to investigate the deadly January riot at the U.S. Capitol building, but the proposal could be in trouble in the Senate. 35 House Republicans voted with Democrats yesterday to approve the commission. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell had declared his opposition to the House bill earlier yesterday.
It's not at all clear what new facts or additional investigation yet another commission could actually lay on top of existing efforts by law enforcement and Congress.
Democratic Congressman Tim Ryan of Ohio.
Benghazi, you guys chased the former Secretary of State all over the country, spent millions of dollars. We have people scaling the Capitol, hitting the Capitol police with lead pipes across the head, and we can't get bipartisanship.
Republican leaders say the bill should also examine political violence broadly defined, including the riots during racial justice protests last summer. Multiple reports say a ceasefire in the fighting between Israel and the Palestinian militant group Hamas could come as early as tomorrow as pressure mounts from Washington and other foreign capitals to bring an end to airstrikes and rocket fire that have claimed a rising number of civilian casualties. The Wall Street Journal says Egyptian officials have made headway in negotiations with Hamas's leadership. A senior Hamas official predicted to Reuters a ceasefire within days. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who spoke to President Biden by telephone yesterday, has said Israel wants to achieve forceful deterrence to dissuade future confrontation from Hamas, considered a terrorist group by the U.S. and others.
This is not merely a question of Israel's security. It's a question of our common security and our common interests in the Middle East.
Israeli media say rocket fire into Israel died down overnight, a lull that stretched into today. It also said Israel was launching new airstrikes in Gaza after daybreak, but at a slower pace than in past days. Texas has a new law on the books that would ban most abortions after 6 to 8 weeks, with abortion in general now facing a Supreme Court review. The statute, signed into law yesterday by Republican Governor Greg Abbott, makes it unlawful for a physician to terminate a fetus with a detectable heartbeat, which generally occurs 6 to 8 weeks into a pregnancy. More now from this morning's Mike Gavin.
The restriction makes an exception for medical emergencies. It doesn't impose criminal penalties like other states. Rather, it authorizes private citizens to bring civil actions. Doctors found liable would face damages of at least $10,000 for every abortion deemed unlawful. The person paying for the procedure could also be subject to liability. Around a dozen other states have enacted fetal heartbeat abortion restrictions. Courts have consistently found the measures to be unconstitutional and blocked enforcement. Gordon.
Thanks, Mike. The Republican-led Senate and House in Texas passed the measure this month with votes almost entirely split along party lines. Between the two chambers, only two Democrats voted for the bill. No Republicans voted against. Coming up next, Republican governors facing primaries. It's Small Business Month, and Dell Technologies and Windows are celebrating your unstoppable drive. Save up to 45% on powerful PCs with Windows 10 Pro to work from anywhere. Plus, top monitors and docks for the ultimate business setup, all with easy financing options through Dell Financial Services. Speak to a Dell Technologies advisor who can help you find the right business tech, server, storage, and cloud solutions at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL for Small Business Month savings. As a business owner, you eventually realize you can't do everything yourself, but hiring is complicated. And what if you only need part-time help? Belay, an innovative staffing solution, has successfully matched thousands of businesses with part-time virtual assistants, bookkeepers, and social media strategists. Belay offers you a virtual support team that can transform your workday. Let Belay help you juggle less and accomplish more. Just go to Belay, B-E-L-A-Y, solutions.com/deal. That's BelaySolutions.com/deal.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Thursday. Several Republican governors are being threatened by primary challenges from the right ahead of the 2022 midterm elections. Allies of former President Trump within the GOP hitting them for not aligning themselves closely enough with the former president on issues like coronavirus restrictions and last year's election results. More from Julia Manchester, political reporter at The Hill. Julia, set the scene.
Well, it's different in all three of these states that I touch on. You know, in Ohio and Texas, we've seen Governor Abbott and Governor DeWine both face some backlash for their coronavirus restrictions. For Governor Abbott, a much more conservative governor and pro-Trump governor, I would say, he's faced backlash from the left and the right, from the right for saying his restrictions have been too harsh, and then from the left for saying that his restrictions are not safe enough. And for Governor DeWine, he's faced backlash from the right in Ohio for them saying his restrictions are too tough. So you've seen, for Governor Abbott, a primary challenger emerge in Ohio. Jim Renacci, former congressman, is considering primarying Governor DeWine. So we're seeing them face this backlash. However, restrictions are lifting in Ohio and Texas. So a lot of these primary challengers and potential primary challengers could run into a dead end by the primaries next year. Now, in Georgia, it's a much different scenario. You have Governor Kemp facing the wrath of former President Trump for Governor Kemp's decision to not overturn the election results in Georgia. We've seen Vernon Jones, a state lawmaker, say that he will challenge Governor Kemp. And while President Trump hasn't formally endorsed Vernon Jones, we do know that Vernon Jones spoke at the Republican National Convention last year, is a Trump ally, and President Trump has vowed to support a primary challenge to Kemp.
Wow. The Governor Abbott in Texas, that one kind of surprises me. I mean, he lifted restrictions like 2 months ago, right? That was when President Biden said this is Neanderthal thinking, right? And I don't know, things seem to be going well in Texas. What's the issue?
Yeah, in fact, on Sunday, they reported no coronavirus-related deaths for the first time in over a year. The issue in Texas is that at the beginning of the pandemic, Governor Abbott was seen as indecisive and that conservatives thought he was enacting too many restrictions. There's also other issues that his primary challenger, Don Huffines, have said he will attack him on, whether that's border security as well as property taxes in the state. And we know that GOP Chairman Alan West in Texas, as well as the state's agriculture commissioner, have also said they are considering primarying the governor as well.
Well, we're speaking with Julia Manchester, political reporter at The Hill. Her story is called GOP Governors Face Challenges from Right. Who in that group, whether it's Texas, Ohio, or Georgia, appears to be most vulnerable?
I would say Georgia, because President Trump's wrath is directed at Brian Kemp, and we know that President Trump still has a huge grip on the Republican Party. Remember, Governor Abbott in Texas, for example, has been very pro-Trump and has not given President Trump much of a reason to go after him. In Ohio, for example, same thing with Governor DeWine. Governor DeWine may not be as pro-Trump and may not toe the Trump party line, but he hasn't blatantly criticized the president the way that other maybe anti-Trump Republicans have. Now, Brian Kemp, you know, has walked back or tried to walk back his decision to not overturn the election results through issuing those that voter restriction law just earlier this spring. However, I think with President Trump, he took that very personally, and he's not letting it go.
In Georgia, you have to be mindful that they have that runoff system, right? Couldn't that factor into some of these decisions?
Absolutely. And then a lot of Republicans in Georgia, particularly Governor Kemp's allies, are concerned that if there was a primary as well as a runoff, that could definitely drain whoever the eventual winner's resources against a Democratic opponent. Look, Georgia still may be a red state, even though they have two Democratic senators, but it's still very much of a red-leaning swing state.
It's Julia Manchester, political reporter at The Hill. This portion of the program is brought to you by Lightstream. Have you ever paid off a high-interest credit card? It's a great feeling, right? To go from the average rate of over 18% to something far more manageable, like a third of that. Well, you can get that feeling when you refinance your credit card balances and save with a consolidation loan from Lightstream. Lightstream offers credit card consolidation loans from 5.95% APR with auto pay and excellent credit. It's an easy way to save hundreds or even thousands of dollars with a lower rate. And the fact that there are no fees saves you even more. Just for our listeners, apply now to get a special interest rate discount and save even more. The only way to get this discount is to visit lightstream.com/deal. That's LIGHTSTREAM, lightstream.com/deal. Subject to credit approval, rates range from 5.95 to 19.99% APR and include a 0.50% auto pay discount. Lowest rate requires excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/deal for more information. Again, lightstream.com/deal. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
The House has voted to create an independent commission on the deadly January 6th insurrection at the U.S. Capitol, sending the legislation to an uncertain future in the Senate. As Republican leaders work to stop a bipartisan investigation, 35 House Republicans supported it, including John Katko of New York.
I want these officers and their families to know that we are doing it not for us and not for politics. We are doing it for them.
The legislation would establish an independent 10-member commission that would make recommendations by the end of the year for securing the Capitol and preventing another insurrection.
Number two.
President Biden and administration officials are encouraging Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and other top Israeli officials to wind down the bombardment of Gaza as the Israeli and Palestinian death tolls mount. White House Deputy Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre.
Our approach is to make sure that we do this quietly, intensively, in a diplomatic way.
Top Biden administration officials underscored to the Israelis that it's in their interest to wind down the operations soon.
Number three.
India today reported more coronavirus deaths in a single day than any other country at any time during the pandemic, while infections continue to spread through vast rural areas with weak health systems. The health ministry reported a record 4,529 deaths in the past 24 hours. Two former Colorado police officers have been charged in connection with an arrest in which a 73-year-old woman who has dementia is alleged to have suffered multiple injuries. Austin Hopp, the one-time Loveland officer who was recorded tackling the woman, has been charged with assault, while fellow former officer Daria Jalali was charged with failure to intervene. The victim's attorney, Sarah Shelkey.
Multiple individuals at this police department watched what Hopp and Jalali did, and all of those individuals did nothing about it.
A federal lawsuit alleges a woman suffered a dislocated shoulder and fractured arm after she was slammed to the ground and hogtied. Thrift stores have a message for you. They don't want your broken furniture and headless Barbie dolls. As people homebound for months cleared out their closets and basements, for some reason they thought secondhand stores wanted what should have been thrown in the trash. The stores say while they welcome most contributions, they are getting saddled with too much stuff that's defective or broken.
Nobody wants a headless Barbie? Is that,
no.
That's the thing?
No. Only horror movies.
No. Thanks, Jen. Next, putting summer childcare on the credit card. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Is there something interfering with your happiness? We're all dealing with a lot right now. I'm sure you feel the same kind of added stress I do. Then you should know about BetterHelp. BetterHelp isn't a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional counseling done securely online. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. Start communicating in under 48 hours. Schedule weekly or monthly phone or video sessions or whatever works for you. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. That's why there's a special offer for This Morning with Gordon Deal listeners. 10% off your first month. Visit BetterHelp.com/Gordon. That's BetterHelp.com/Gordon. And join the over 1 million people who've taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp, they're recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. That's 10% off your first month at BetterHelp.com/Gordon. Glad you're with us. Welcome into Thursday. A sizable percentage of parents are taking on credit card debt to keep the kids in child care this summer. Here to explain some new research is Ted Rossman, senior industry analyst at Bankrate.com. Ted, give us numbers.
Almost half, 45% of parents who are paying for summer child care are going to go into credit card debt as a result. That's concerning to me because credit card rates remain quite high. The average is 16%. Many people are paying 20% or more. We pegged the average summer child care cost at a little over $800 per child. Really, though, that's a drop in the bucket compared to the school year child care cost. That runs almost that much every single month. So we're talking like $7,500 in the course of a school year. Bottom line, these costs are expensive. The pandemic has further stressed things. A lot of parents have had to rearrange their work schedules, sometimes even quit their jobs entirely. It's a big pain point for parents.
Yeah. I mean, I guess there are worse things you could put on a credit card, but I mean, what are the options here?
It's tricky. Yeah. I mean, one thing I would say specific to credit cards is we are seeing a resurgence in 0% balance transfer offers and 0% introductory APRs. These were really cut back during 2020 because of risk worries among the banks. But as things are getting better, credit there is starting to open up a little bit. So that's an option. It's still debt, though. I mean, you still do need to pay it back. One other thing I would point out here is I think the expanded child tax credit could really be a breath of fresh air here. And beginning in mid-July, most American parents are going to start getting monthly stipends from the federal government. It's basically kind of an advance on what used to be a tax credit that you get at the end of the year. Now the number is higher, so you're going to get more dollars. It's either $3,000 or $3,600 per kid, depending on how old the kid is. And going to be paid throughout the year from July through the end of the year. So that advance is going to be like a stimulus payment of sorts.
We're speaking with Ted Rossman, senior industry analyst at Bankrate.com. We're talking about parents putting summer child care on their credit cards. What else to consider here? What else stood out, Ted?
You know, I think the fact that so many people have had to change their work schedules or stop working entirely, that's a really big deal. So 56% told us that either they or their spouse had to either change their work schedule or stop working entirely. 17% said they or their spouse completely stopped working. It's a burden that's fallen hardest on women, and we've actually seen the labor force participation rate among women rolled back more than 30 years. You know, we've seen a decline that's really taken us back to the same level that we were seeing in the mid-1980s. Wow. And it's something that really has been an unfortunate consequence of all this.
Nice, Ted. Ted Rossman, senior industry analyst at Bankrate.com. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. This is pretty sobering. Every 10 seconds, someone becomes a victim of fraud or ID theft. And even worse, 23% never recover their money. If you think it can happen to you, that's what they're counting on. But now, there's Aura. Aura is all-in-one protection from identity theft, financial fraud, malware, scam sites, and more. And Aura alerts you to fraud and threats fast, like if your online accounts or passwords were leaked or if someone tries to open a bank account in your name. It's a new type of security service that protects all of your online information with one simple subscription. Aura is easy to set up, and all plans come with $1 million in identity theft insurance to help recover your stolen funds and experienced U.S.-based customer support that's got your back. Right now, Aura is offering our listeners early access and 3 free months when you visit aura.com/Gordon. Go to aura.com/Gordon to get access before anyone else and 3 months for free. That's aura.com/Gordon.
Cutting through the clutter to bring you the people and stories that matter to you. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Glad you're with us. Welcome into Thursday, May 20th. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. Israel and Hamas said to be close to a ceasefire. The European Union is a step closer to allowing vaccinated Americans to visit this summer. Stocks extended losses after the Federal Reserve began signaling it's prepared to back off pandemic easy money policies. Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot, who's black, says she's only granting interviews to journalists of color. The sixth no-hitter of the baseball season goes to Corey Kluber of the Yankees, and the prize money for a 12-year-old who won a fishing derby in New York. We'll have that story in about 20 minutes. This portion of the program is brought to you by Capital One. Capital One has no fees or minimums on checking and savings accounts. That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Capital One N.A., member FDIC. Well, even if you don't care one way or the other about getting sick from the novel coronavirus, health advocates have you in mind. COVID vaccines are showing up in unlikely places like on public transportation, at churches, and in factories. It's an effort by health advocates and community leaders to reach a group of unvaccinated individuals less likely to make headlines, and that's the ambivalent. More from Julie Wernow, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Julie, what's going on?
Well, basically, you know, believe it or not, something like 90% of people who haven't gotten vaccinated to this point haven't even tried to make an appointment. And so what a lot of health officials figured out is that what they really need to do is try to make it as convenient as possible to get a vaccine, which means that all of a sudden you're seeing COVID-19 vaccines show up in the weirdest places. We've got it on the New York City subway. We've got it in parks. It's showing up at people's workplaces. It's just the new way of trying to just convince people to get this shot.
Boy, so you reference in the opening of your story this farmhouse style restaurant in Spokane, Washington. You got like, what, 500 people a day or something? And so it's a good crowd, I guess, to offer this to.
Yeah, believe it or not, this restaurant has a really famous oatmeal. And so the owner hooked up with some health workers and said, why don't we bribe people with this oatmeal that my grandmother used to make? And they'll show up, eat some free oatmeal, get their shot, wait their 15 minutes, and maybe, you know, get a few mimosas on the way out the door.
How's that been received?
Well, it's interesting, right? I mean, It's clearly working in some circles, but, you know, I talked to a social psychologist recently who was telling me that it also has the potential to really backfire among people who are extremely against getting the shot. They're sort of offended by the idea that people would try to bribe them. They feel like the information is kind of being shoved down their throats, so to speak, along with the oatmeal.
Right. You referenced, too, casinos. How would that work?
Yeah, actually, in Connecticut, people are going to get their shots at the casinos. I know some folks who walked away with, you know, scratch off tickets and things like that after they got their shot. They had some kind of funny stickers, you know, with like a some kind of betting gambling pun on them. I can't recall what. But yeah, I mean, as long as you have the nursing staff, these vaccines are portable. They can travel. I've seen them in coolers. I've seen them in vans. And they can just show up wherever they think they're going to find people. And the idea is maybe if it's right in front of you, you'll say, all right, go ahead.
Wow. We're speaking with Julie Wernow, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Her story is entitled, Why COVID-19 Vaccines Are Showing Up in Unusual Places. What do the ambivalents say, by the way, about why they haven't gotten a shot yet?
Well, you know, in some cases, it really is an access problem. Some people are working two jobs. I talked to a guy who goes from his factory job directly to washing dishes at Burger King. He just hasn't had the time. So when they showed up with the shot at the factory, that worked for him. For other people, you know, it's that they've been planning on it. They haven't quite gotten around to it yet. And then there's a whole large group of people who just they're not sure about it. They kind of want to be able to have a conversation with someone, someone they trust. So those people maybe, you know, would be more likely to go to their family doctor or something, where we're also starting to see vaccines now pop
up. How are sites determined? How do they do the data on that as to where a good location would be?
Well, you know, in some cases, it really is just gut instinct, you know, like, you know, somebody saying, like, there was a pizza place that thought, you know, maybe if we offer people pizza, they'll come here. In other cases, they're using big data. There's a company out in Los Angeles County that was using a combination of public and private data to determine where there are these kind of like vaccine deserts, places where it's just you really can't expect people to walk or drive that far to go get a shot. And so then based on that, they kind of triangulated locations, churches and parks, where people might just be walking by and would possibly sign up to get a shot. So it ranges from the really like tech savvy to what is really just kind of these small kind of grassroots community efforts.
All right. Thanks, Julie. Julie Wernow, reporter at The Wall Street Journal. Coming up next, the mic drop.
When you start a small business, you do it because it's something that you love. And when it's successful, that's great. But it brings new challenges you might not have thought of, mainly HR. HR compliance issues can cause complex problems that, let's face it, you don't have time for. And it's got to be done right or it could destroy your business. Bambee, spelled B-A-M-B-E-E, was created specifically for small businesses. Get a dedicated HR manager available by phone, email, or real-time chat to craft HR policy and maintain your compliance, all for just $99 a month. And there's no risk. It's month-to-month with no hidden fees. Cancel anytime. Bambee's dedicated HR managers will know your business and your specific concerns no matter what state you're in. With Bambee, you'll have peace of mind and never worry about HR compliance again. Go to Bambee.com/Gordon right now to schedule your free HR audit. That's Bambee.com/Gordon, spelled BAM to the B-E-E .com/Gordon.
Hey, glad you could be with us. Welcome into a Friday Eve. It is time now for the mic drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, you know, there's likely a large percentage of us who don't ever wear our high school class rings and probably couldn't find them if we tried. Thankfully, we can rely on the kindness of strangers to help. A class of 1965 class ring found in a Delaware store parking lot was returned to its owner, who didn't even know it was lost. Kim Shank said she was in the parking lot of a shopping center in Wilmington when she spotted an object on the ground that turned out to be the ring. Shank said she tried using social media to find the owner of the ring, but when that failed to turn up any leads, she contacted William Penn High School. The school matched the initials JMS on the ring with the only student in the class of 65 that had them, Joanna Marie Sikierda, now Joanna Gore. The owner was contacted and didn't even know it was missing. Turns out she had allowed her granddaughter, who was a junior in high school, to wear the ring, and that's how it got lost. Gore said she will not be returning the ring to her granddaughter, at least for the time being.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you get a high school ring?
I did not.
I didn't either.
I was very anti-class rings in general. I felt like it was kind of, for me, it was kind of a waste of money in high school and college. I didn't even think twice. Didn't even bother.
Yeah. Well, I don't wear rings other than my wedding ring. So it made no sense in high school to get one.
I knew exactly what would happen. I knew it would be in a box. Everybody would ooh and ah over it for 5 minutes. Then it would go away. And then, like I said, if you flash forward to today, I probably wouldn't even be able to find the thing.
Right.
It'd be buried in a box someplace.
You know what struck me about the story, oddly enough, is that you said social media failed to turn up any leads.
Yeah.
Right. Now, I looked briefly. William Penn High School is in New Castle, Delaware.
Right.
And the ring was found in Wilmington.
Right.
They're 6 miles apart.
Right.
Social media turned up no leads.
Yeah.
What?
Well, I don't know. I mean, all she had to really go by, I guess, was just the initials on the ring, you know, JMS. So, and it's sort of a broad search, I guess.
Well, it was William Penn High School must have been on there, on
right.
the ring.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
Where are you, social media? What's the social media in Delaware? What's the deal?
Social media can't do everything. Okay?
Fail. That's so, it. Hashtag. Epic fail.
Sometimes a little old school detective work is what we need to do.
Well, it definitely worked out, but I mean, right. Come on.
Yeah. And we know baseball players come in all shapes and sizes and even levels of flexibility. San Diego Padres star Fernando Tatis Jr. had fans doing a double take and maybe even wincing a little after an acrobatic play he made in a game yesterday. After Tatis reached base in the first inning, he promptly stole second but overslid the bag. In an attempt to keep his right foot on the base while the rest of his body kept moving toward the outfield, Tatis wound up doing a full split, impressing everyone, including social media users, who have watched the clip nearly 500,000 times. Even more impressive, Tatis was playing his first game in 10 days after testing positive for COVID-19.
Man.
Some people just wake up in the morning and just do incredible things. He's one of those players. Yeah. Just will do something exciting every time you watch him.
That's remarkable. That split was remarkable.
Yes, it was.
And it's not like, oh, that's a man split. You know, it isn't like 3/4 of the way down. No, he did a full split.
That's like a gymnast in the Olympics type of split that he did.
Because it's like it's the forward leg split, not the side leg split.
Right.
I don't know if there's a difficulty difference there, but
yeah, I would get about 10% still, of the way on either one of those. Yeah. Not even close.
I'd be on the 15-day DL.
Yes.
Maybe 30. Thanks, Mike. It's Small Business Month, and Dell Technologies and Windows are celebrating your unstoppable drive. Save up to 45% on powerful PCs with Windows 10 Pro to work from anywhere. Plus top monitors and docks for the ultimate business setup, all with easy financing options through Dell Financial Services. Speak to a Dell Technologies advisor who can help you find the right business tech, server, storage, and cloud solutions at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL for Small Business Month savings. Thanks for spending time with us. Notice new traffic patterns. The Wall Street Journal says COVID pandemic continues to scramble driving patterns throughout the country. Morning traffic is below pre-pandemic levels in most places as many people continue to work from home. However, the transportation analytics company INRIX says in more than 40 of the 100 biggest U.S. metros, roads are more congested on weekday afternoons than they were pre-pandemic, likely due to an uptick in shopping and leisure-type trips, as well as deliveries. In the Tampa region of Florida, afternoon vehicle trips are 105% of pre-pandemic levels, highest rate increase among metro areas with at least 3 million residents. Driving across the bridge from the mainland to Clearwater Beach can take 90 minutes in the afternoon. Locals know the only way to save time is to take their boats. The bottom, by the way, is dominated by metros like San Francisco, New York, and Detroit, where afternoon weekday trips are still below 80%. Of pre-pandemic levels. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
35 Republicans joined Democrats in passing a bill to create a bipartisan independent commission to thoroughly investigate the January 6th Capitol riot, giving hope to backers it might also pass the Senate despite Republican leader Mitch McConnell's opposition.
The facts have come out, and they'll continue to come out. What is clear is that House Democrats have handled this proposal in partisan bad faith, going right back to the beginning.
Modeled after the independent panel that investigated the September 11th terrorist attack, this commission would be charged with scrutinizing what provoked a pro-Trump mob to assault the Capitol and what can be done to prevent another attack.
Number two.
Israel unleashed a wave of airstrikes across the Gaza Strip early today, killing at least one Palestinian and wounding several others. The latest strikes came after Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu pushed back against U.S. pressure to wind down the offensive against Gaza's militant Hamas rulers, who have fired thousands of rockets at Israel.
This is not merely a question of Israel's security. It's a question of our common security and our common interests in the Middle East.
The Biden administration is pressuring Israel to wrap up the operation that has left hundreds dead.
Number three.
More than a year after coronavirus shutdown sent the city that never sleeps into a slumber, New York is waking up. Vaccinated New Yorkers can now shed their masks in most situations, and restaurants, stores, gyms, and many other businesses can go back to full capacity if they ascertain that all patrons have been inoculated. Meanwhile, CDC Director Rochelle Walensky continues to defend the CDC's latest mask position.
People had said we'd move too slow. People have said we've moved too fast. We moved at the speed that the science gave us.
Last spring, New York was the nation's deadliest coronavirus hotspot, the site of over 21,000 deaths in just 2 months. Not all millennials are happy about their first home purchase. In fact, 60% have home buyer's remorse. According to a new Bankrate survey, of those who had regrets, 15% of people between the ages of 25 and 40 were disappointed in the location they picked. 14% regret buying a home that was either too big or too small for their needs.
60%. Wow, that's a lot of unhappy folks. Thanks, Jen.
Innovation. Resilience. Agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Thanks for being with us. A 12-year-old is sitting on a bucket of cash after winning a fishing tournament in western New York. Finnan Murphy from Pittsford, New York, caught a 26-pound, 10-ounce Chinook salmon on Sunday, which made him the grand prize winner of the Spring Lake Ontario Counties Derby. The big fish also landed him a big prize, $15,000. The Derby announced young Finnan as the winner Sunday night in a Facebook post. According to another Facebook post by Rochester Sport Fishing, it took the young angler almost 30 minutes to reel in his catch. NewYorkUpstate.com says Finnan, his dad, two neighborhood friends, and their dads go out for the Derby every year. He thought he lost the salmon a couple of times, but it had only stopped fighting briefly, then would take off running again. He told NewYorkUpstate.com that he plans to put most of his winnings aside for college, although he may spend some of his money on, quote, nice gifts for his parents and a toy Orbi Nerf gun. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, GEICO makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. GEICO.com. Easy.